हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 84, chapter 11, summary description of the Mahapurusha. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, this is a material form of the Lord, Parusham Rupa, not his Sarup. By what vibhutis are his limbs conceived? This question is answered here. The vibhuti for the feet of the Lord is earth. By earth one imagines his feet. Since they are considered non-different, they are equated in the text. The earth is his feet. All statements following are similar. Then, by thinking of the feet and other limbs of the universal form, one should remember the spiritual limbs of the Lord composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Right? So the impersonalists, they only do this part, and they're trying to simply appreciate that there is form. They won't take it to the spiritual form because they don't know. But when they're trying to adjust to the concept that the Lord has form, they may use this. Like it said in the second canto. So the same thing's being given. And here you see, then it's being pointed out that you take it to his original form. You start there, and then you're the original form.
So now it's impersonalized, they have a partial understanding.
No. It means that when they're trying to adjust to the concept that there's form, the Lord has form, then they approach the universal form from that aspect.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But here he's showing is that you see some, the earth, it reminds you of his feet, so then you think of the Lord's feet.
Yes.
Like that. My Lord supports the earth, his vibhuti, by his two feet. So through his feet he supports the earth. Right? He supports the heaven, his vibhuti, by his head. All things visible to eye and conceived by mind are also the Lord's limbs, since they are all his vibhutis. All conceptions are only conceptions of the Lord. This is what the person discerns. Right, so whatever is there, they're all only conceptions of the Lord. I mean, so from his feet, then we have the earth, because that supports. He's the support of everything. Right? He is everything. His feet are the support on which... See, he's standing, that means the earth, everything that we are supported by is coming from his feet.
Mm-hmm. So this is the same principle as childhood and childness?
Yes, you're just taking the two like that. But in here is you're going out to the material elements rather than simply coming down to only the metaphysical. You're bringing it down to the elements. Right, so it's the same process. Yes, same process. Sutta Goswami continued, just as one can determine the dimensions of an ordinary person of this world by measuring his various limbs, one can determine the dimensions of the Mahapurusha by measuring the arrangement of the planetary systems within his universal form, right? So then you know he's very big. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, since the universal form and the individual person are considered one, by seeing the individual person, though faulty because of material qualities, one can understand something of the faultless spiritual person of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Right? So this is the origin of the macro and the micro and all that kind of jazz. That doesn't do anything. Not so new agey. Okay. Yes.
It's very complicated kind of description. Why would it happen like now? I mean, at this point in the Bhagavatam.
Because now one has come to the point of that detachment from the material world, and you know, how seeing that it's just about Krishna. So how you can see Krishna in everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
But we saw personal forms and variety, not only one, but many.
Yes, but the whole point is when we're walking down the road, do we remember that? But here, you can remember that, because you're walking on the earth and that can, that, or you see people's feet, that reminds you Krishna has feet. You know, so his feet, our feet comes from his feet. That's the point, is our feet come from the universal form. The universal form is representing Krishna. So it's just a way, it's just, in other words, what you're being given is the system of Vibhava, of Udipan.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, before, it would just be knowledge.
Yes.
But now it's something, yes, you can take it all the way through, because now you've heard about the forms and the pastimes and all those things. So it's the same knowledge. It's not that there's something different. It's just a matter of the depth of it. Just like the Uddhava Gita is the same knowledge as in the Bhagavad Gita. It's just gotten more depth. Does that make sense? You know, there's more is explained on Sarva Dharmam Parityaja. Well, the Gita is just mentioned at the end. Well, in Uddhava Gita, then basically chapters and chapters are on that point. Right? And he shows all the technical, the jnana that's in the last six chapters. So those are expanded on greatly. Because the karma yoga and jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, those are all explained very nicely. Right? And then Krishna and his vibhutis and all that are there. But now how to connect that all back to him? Because that's not explained in detail in the Bhagavad Gita. He just says it's there. Mm-hmm. So now we're getting how you practically use that. So it's still all the tech, all the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. Because that is the philosophy. It's just a matter of the approaches get more and more detailed, more and more deep. But it's otherwise, the fundaments are the same.
Yes.
Does that work? Or?
Yeah, I'm just trying to put it in the context, because it's mentioned that this process, Markandeya, he used that kind of process.
Yes, right? Yes. And it seemed to have worked out for him.
Yeah. My question is, this is the process that we follow.
It is in these aspects. Means our main thing is we're chanting and all that, but then when we're walking, we're seeing things and we can understand. You know, it's like we're looking out here, we see all the trees are the hairs on the body of the Lord, and then you remember him. So Keshava, like that. So that's the whole idea, is how that one step, because before it would be many, many steps. Now they're just showing how it's only one step. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. So it's come to the point where it can be used more effectively. Right? Before it's just, it establishes Krishna's greatness and that, but now it's just, you're just using that to just go into Bhagavan.
Maharaj, is it that the universal form is different for the residents of the moon and the higher planetary system?
Is the universal form different for the different planetary systems? No. Because Krishna is all the planetary systems.
Because Shishumar has been described in Canto 5, then that time we saw how it is the shape of a dolphin, and then everything has been spoken that this is the head, this is the tail, these are the wings and everything.
Yeah, but I mean, saying anything that you can remember Krishna from that. But it's not that it's different, because it's still, the higher planets are still that, and the lower planet, just like we're here and we can say the higher planets are up there, it doesn't change. Right? If you're down at the feet and you say the feet are this and the head's that, you're not at the head. So people are up at the head, then they're at the head, not at the feet. But it's the same. Same universal form, same principle.
Okay.
It doesn't have to change. It doesn't have to get more. See, the point is not about the technicality of the universal form. The point is how by the universal form you can remember Krishna.
Yes.
That's the point. We don't need to complicate the secondary. Does that make sense? You know, it's not like, okay, you know, here's the tire, here's the nut, here's the wrench. well, can we use chopsticks here, you know, like that, and then that kind of, so then we put those into this and then that, and we get, you don't have to do that. It's just, it works very nicely, just use it like that. It's about, it's not about the technique, it's about Krishna. So, okay. Sudha Goswami continued. Upon his chest, the almighty unborn personality of Godhead bears the Kaustubha gem, which represents the pure spirit soul, along with the Srivatsa mark, which is the direct manifestation of this gem's expansive effulgence. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Having spoken of the limbs, now the ornaments are described. The Lord supports the pure jiva, Swatma Jyoti, in the form Vyapade Shena of the Kaustubha. The Kaustubha represents the Lord's vibhuti known as the pure jiva. It is said, the letter A is Vishnu, U is Lakshmi, and M is their servant, jiva, is glorified as the 25th element. Padma Purana 6226, 22-23. Wow, 226 chapters. You're just thinking, ooh, okay. We've been doing pretty good, right? The Lord holds his servant on his heart, right? Because Kaustubha gem is short, it sits on the heart. Right? So it's there, the, and the Srivatsa mark, right? So Lakshmi is there, and then that effulgence, how it's being served by the Kaustubha, by the jivas. Right, so AUM is the Lord Lakshmi and, or the internal potency and the jiva. Right. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.468. So it's the devotees. Krishna just interacts with the devotees, and the devotees interact with him. Right? Everybody else is taken care of by his expansions. Yes. So as Paramatma, as Brahman, he takes care of everybody else. Yes. But for Krishna, he just only deals with the devotees. O King, thus the personality of Godhead, who is devoted to his own devotees, stayed for some time with his two great devotees, Shutadeva and Bahulasva, teaching them the behavior of perfect saints. Then the Lord returned to Dwarka. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:86-59. The effulgence of the Kaustubha, which spreads everywhere, is the Srivatsa on the Lord's right upper chest. This is a fine curl of white hair whirling clockwise. This supports his vibhuti called Dharma. Though not mentioned, on his left chest is the Lakshmi Rekha, a golden line similar to the line on a testing stone that supports his vibhuti known as royal wealth. Right? So you have Dharma and royal wealth. So they go together. Because from Dharma you get wealth. From Dharma you get Artha. Right? So they go together. Right? Proper action produces... Why? Proper action was proper action. Done something to please Krishna. Then if you do something to please Krishna, who's pleased? Right? Lakshmi. Therefore, then all the opulences are there. Yes. But those opulences are further for service. Yes. Right? You do something, then facility is there. You get more service.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Sri Suta Goswami continued. His flower garland is his... So, do you catch what's happening here?
Yeah.
Means... We're seeing the ones that are here, and we're wondering, what is this universal form? But then when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains it, then you see, that's what they remember. Because if you say this, that brings it back to, it means, you see living entities. Living entities are the jivas, right? The jivas then, you know, are in the Kaustubha gem. The Kaustubha gem on his chest, and that's the effulgence. Lakshmi's there, you know, Dharma's there, wealth, all these different aspects are there on the Lord. So that's how it is. And that's just walking down the road with all the yelling and screaming tourists. Right? We're thinking, ah, so annoying, get out of the way. Why is that? Can't you see? Like that. But they're remembering this. That's why it's in 12th canto. Is that? Yeah. Sutta Goswami continued. His flower garland is his material energy, comprising various combinations of the modes of nature. His yellow garment, right? So modes of nature, because you have the flower garland has all the different colors and everything. So all the modes come out of that. Right? Does that make sense? Because you have red, yellow, and blue. Right? So yellow and blue, you get green. Right? So, you know, so you always have these colors. So there's five colors in there. So there's like that. His yellow garment is the Vedic meters. And his sacred thread, the syllable Om, composed of three sounds. Right? So that's how you get the three threads. Okay. Now we have it. Right. In the form of his two shark-shaped earrings, the Lord carries the process of Shankhya and Yoga. And his crown, bestowing fearlessness on the inhabitants of all the worlds, is the supreme position of Brahmaloka. Because you have his head is the heavenly planet, so on top of that's Brahmaloka. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the vibhuti of his garland is Maya, consisting of three gunas. The vibhuti of his yellow cloth is the Vedic meters. The vibhuti of a sacred thread is known as Om. In this way, the parts of the Lord are equated with vibhutis in this world. Because right, these vibhutis come from these places. He's just performing his pastimes, and then because he's the source of everything comes from somewhere. And so then here it's just being connected to down to the material platform. But otherwise it has its natural original position. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sutta Goswami continued. Ananta, the Lord's sitting place, is the unmanifest phase of material nature. And the Lord's lotus throne is the mode of goodness, endowed with religion and knowledge. Because said the Lord sits on religion and not. He doesn't sit on other things. That's why we can't make up a system. We can't think, well, we'll do like this or that, or you can't do that stuff anymore. No, it's Krishna's system. So wherever there's the aspect of religion and knowledge, that's where you look.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The seat where he is situated, called Ananta, is Pradhan. Pradhan is Vibhuti, represented by Ananta. In the previous verse, the Vibhuti of the Lord's garland was Maya, or Prakriti, same as Pradhan, the cause of creation. However, Ananta is the root cause. His lotus throne, another seat, accompanied by Dharma and Jnana, is Sattvaguna. Right, so you have there, but even that, it goes back to Balaram. Mm-hmm. Right, because Balaram has that original nature. Remember, we never came across that term again. But that there's a mood in Balaram that is there that he doesn't manifest of the controller of the material energy. Right, so then his expansion is Mahavasudeva, Maharanarayan, Maya Mahavasudeva also. Then from there you get Sankarshan, who expands as the Purusha avatars. There you see it manifest. Mm-hmm. But it already starts in Krishna.
Yes.
I mean, it starts in Balaram. It means it's there originally in Krishna. But then you see there's that flavor there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, Dharma and Jnana, then that's Sattvagun. Right? Because you have knowledge and you're performing the proper activity, that establishes Sattvagun. That's where Krishna sits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's Udhokshaja, where he comes down into something where you can know. That's then that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? We were talking before about the five levels of gaining knowledge. Mm-hmm. Sutta Goswami continued. The club the Lord carries is the chief element, prana, incorporating the potencies of sensory, mental, and physical strength. Right, because that's all based on the prana. His excellent conch shell is the element water. His Sudarshan disc is the element fire. And his sword, pure as the sky, the element ether. Nala is No, Nila is ether. Okay. Yeah, so then he defined the space. Because he built the wall. And Sri Rangam. No? Yeah? His shield embodies the mode of ignorance. His bow, named Sharanga, time. And his arrow-filled quiver, the working sensory organs. His arrows are said to be the senses. And his chariot is the active, forceful mind. His external appearance is the subtle objects of perception, right? So you have it both from what you see here, you can remember back to the Lord. And then from seeing the Lord, you can remember back to everything here. Right? Does that make sense? He is everything, everything's in him.
So there's a direct correlation between the impersonal and the personal.
Yeah, because the impersonal is always based on the personal. Like that. His external appearance is the subtle objects of perception, and the gestures of his hands are the essence of all purposeful activity. Right? He moves his hands, things happen. Others just wave their hands around. Yeah. Now from this one point, always remember this one. That you can always remember the Lord if you visit Italy.
Huh?
Yeah, you'll be constantly absorbed. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the active mind endowed with Kriya Shakti is the vibhuti of the chariot. The tanmatras, such as sound, are the vibhutis of his appearance. Right, so all the senses all go back to him. So by seeing him, that's why it said all the senses are satisfied. Because that's where they all come from. So the mind in that Kriya Shakti, the mind on activities, then that becomes what is, how things are progressing. His sense objects are the external manifestations of desire. Of desire for grasping objects, to be grasped by the senses. Okay. Okay, so sense objects, then that is for grasping with the senses.
Yes.
So you get all three, right? The sense object, and the tanmatra, right? By his mudras, hand gestures, such as giving benediction or fearlessness, he supports the very nature of action with a purpose. The vibhutis of his giving benedictions and fearlessness are the actions with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Sutta Goswami continued, the sun globe is the place where the Supreme Lord is worshipped. Spiritual initiation is the means of purification for the pure spirit soul. And rendering devotional service to the personality of Godhead is the process for eradicating all one's sinful reactions. Playfully carrying a lotus, which represents the various opulences designated by the word bhaga, the Supreme Lord accepts service from a pair of chamara fans, which are religion and fame. Right? Because I think it was, who was doing yajna? Was Indra, or someone's doing yajna, and the Lord came, and the fans, or he was on Garuda, and the fans were also there. He came with eight arms. So I think on the...
Was it Gajendra?
No, no, no. This is somebody that was doing a yajna.
Daksha.
Okay. So then you see those pair of chamra, their religion and fame. And then you see that lotus represents all the six opulences. And then you see that he carries, but Radharani always has. Right? Because she is all the opulences. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, receiving mantra, diksha, is the samskar of the jiva. The vibhuti of reciting mantra is the jiva's samskar. Service to the Lord is the vibhuti of destruction of the sins of the jiva. The vibhutis of the lotus are material power, wealth, knowledge, and vairagya. The vibhutis of his charmers are material dharma and material fame. Right, so all these are the original forms, and then from them they come down into this world. Does that make sense? So from this you can remember that, from that you can remember. Sutta Goswami continued. Right, so if you see someone who's very famous, then you remember it's his chamara.
Yes.
Right? But that fame's meant for glorifying the Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because that has its taste. You have these opium, but you're using them in Krishna's service. You're not trying to use them separately.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Maharaj Yogi said that the vibhuti of lotus are four things: power, wealth, knowledge, and vairagya. And this is like there are six opulences, no?
Because the fame comes with the chamara.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes. Okay.
Sutta Goswami continued, O Brahmanas, the Lord's umbrella is his spiritual abode, Vaikuntha, where there is no fear, and Garuda, who carries the Lord of sacrifice, is the threefold Veda. Right? So when he flaps his wings, you get the Samaveda. Right? The goddess of fortune, Shri, who never leaves the Lord's side, appears with him in this world as a representation of his internal potency. Vishvakshena, the chief among his personal associates, is known to be the personification of the Pancharatra and other tantras. Right? So that's why you see that those who follow, then Vishvakshena is very predominant in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Who's following?
Smartas? No, not Smartas, like the Shris. Shris, and Vishvakshena is always, any puja you do, he moves to a new asan, so there all the things, paraphernalia from the last asan is taken off, that's all given to Vishvakshena. Right, and he'll distribute. And the Lord's eight doorkeepers, headed by Nanda, are his mystic perfections, beginning with anima. Right? So then, so those are all the eight perfections, they're the outside, so, yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Lakshmi is the eternal Shakti arising from the Lord's Sarup, the Vibhuti of the Ladini Shakti, and is represented in this world by the bliss of Swarga, etc. Because it means the Ladini, anything that creates happiness is actually coming from Lakshmi. But we're trying to enjoy that separately, then trying to connect that to Krishna. So the idea is that when we understand what's the source of this, then we should then surrender to Krishna and serve through his internal potency. That will give pleasure to Krishna. Him being pleased, then we're pleased. But we try to deal separately, then depending upon how much we're following the rules of the Shastra or not, there'll be a little higher or a little less of happiness. And as we're not interested in the Shastra, then it starts to get less and less and less. Sutta Goswami continued, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha are the names of the direct personal expansions of the Supreme Godhead. O Brahmana, Shaunaka, one can conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of awakened consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep, which function respectively through external objects, the mind, and material intelligence. And also in terms of the fourth, transcendental level of consciousness, which is characterized by pure knowledge. Right? So you see this material intelligence, that's also then where deep sleep is, which is also has the aspect of ignorance to it. So it comes from the passion for action. So you'll see that those who are very intelligent also have this problem. Right? Then that aspect of not actually being aware. They're so absorbed in their intelligence, they can't actually see what's going on around them. Right? It's just part of... Sorry. Like that. So Hoja Maharaj pointed this out to me like 20 years ago. But he didn't get... But here's the point where it's connected. He always says that it's known, at least in the Western academic world, that those with great knowledge, then they also have a whole problem. They're connected with the senses too much. But it's not necessarily refined.
Yes.
You know, it's just their intellectual, the senses, that it's just, he was saying it's something that's a standard thing. So here we see how it's connected, because of that aspect of ignorance and then the passion, so then it can be. So if you connect that to the Lord, then that knowledge being used according to, how you say, proper knowledge, not speculation, then being engaged according to duties that will situate you in goodness, then the intelligence works properly.
Yes.
But if not, it'll work in passion and ignorance. Yes.
Yes. That means, Maharaj, because of being too much absorbed in a material gross ignorance,
yes,
then basically we can't perceive intelligence because it is already dependent on the mind, which is dependent on your gross senses getting in contact with sense objects.
Yeah. Well, so like you associate with dead matter, you become like dead matter. So the scientists, and that they're analyzing dead matter so much, they become like that. So they can't even function outside. I don't know if you've ever met, you know, serious nuclear physicists. They can't function outside of their, you know, their scene, their office, their classroom, and the cafeteria, and that. That's it. They can't relate outside of that.
It's like already described also, like in the process of creation and false ego add more.
Yeah, you keep adding more false ego, then it starts getting grosser and grosser. And so just so there's a lot of false ego there, right? You know, it takes a huge quantity of false ego to produce one nuclear physicist. Like that. Yeah. So like that. So we see is that how these connections work, because we'll always take it, know that they're the most intelligent, so they're the highest. But the problem is where do they apply their intelligence? That's the problem. They're applying it on the Veda, then it puts them in a higher position. They'll put them in goodness. But if they present it on the absolute truth, that'll put them in transcendence. So yes, it's through the intelligence things work, right? Like that. But the point is that it's where you apply it then will define the level of consciousness, right? And since now the contemporary ideas that is pratyaksha, what I can perceive with the senses, then that will place them on the lowest level of consciousness, like the animals. Like that. So.
Yes.
Śrīla Goswāmī continually. Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. This explains the vibhutis of the Chaturvyuha. Right? The vibhutis means the opulences or the splendor. Right? The senses and mind are endowed with impressions. I slept happily. I was not even aware of happiness. In this example, even in deep sleep, there's ignorance and knowledge caused by impressions of the mind and senses. By knowledge through the senses, mind and objects, in the states of waking, sleeping, deep sleep, and the four states, the Lord is remembered. The four states are vibhutis of the Chaturvyuha. Vasudeva represents the waking state, right, because you're active. Sankarshan represents dreaming. Prajumna represents deep sleep. And Aniruddha represents the fourth state of knowledge, right, Turiya. Head will crack, or Sutta Goswami continued. Okay. Sutta Goswami continued. The Supreme Personality, because everything has to come from Krishna. So then here, the Chaturvyuha, then all the states of consciousness are coming. Like that. Same time, other things are there also, but he's just bringing out some aspect, because he's discussed so much before. And in this way, you can just, through just general things, you can remember the Lord.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
And in Vedanta Sutras, it mentions about how the three states of consciousness, you know, Krishna is the source of it. But here the details are mentioned. Who is the specific?
Yes, one? Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Sutra Goswami continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, thus appears in four personal expansions. each exhibiting major limbs, minor limbs, weapons, and ornaments. Through these distinct features, the Lord maintains the four phases of existence. O best of Brahmanas, he alone is the self-luminous, original source of the Vedas, perfect and complete in his own glory. By his material energy, he creates, destroys, and maintains this entire universe. Right, so that all happens with his garland. Right? Because he is the performer of various material functions, he is sometimes described as materially divided, yet he always remains transcendentally situated in pure knowledge. Those who are dedicated to him in devotion can realize him to be their true soul. Right? So in other words, he's the soul of souls. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Four forms were explained. Now three forms are explained. O best of the Brahmanas. One, this Lord reveals the Vedas, Brahma Yoni. No one else is a revealer. Two, he is self-revealed, Swayam Dirik. He is not like a king who is dependent on his subjects. Right? Someone's a king because they're subjects. No subjects, he's not a king. But Krishna is himself, whether anybody else is manifest or not. Right? Three, and he is complete in his own power, Swa Mahima Pari Purnaha. But for his play, he creates, maintains, and destroys by a Shakti called Maya, represented by Brahma and others. Through his knowledge, he is never covered.
Though
his knowledge is never covered, it appears he is described or explained by Maya. But actually, even Brahma cannot describe the Lord properly. Right? We can only get an idea of something, because his vibhutis are unlimited. So something you can connect, something you can understand. But the point is, as Krishna reveals. So, for what purpose has he made so much effort? His devotees attain him by meditating on him in this form. How do the devotees meditate upon him? By seeing and remembering the vibhutis of his feet, such as earth, etc., one can easily remember the Lord's feet. I should always remember my Lord, and I always see this vibhuti of my Lord's feet, the earth. Right? Because wherever you go, there's the earth. Right? All the animals and plants who take shelter of the earth also have taken shelter of my Lord's lotus feet. Right? So everybody's taken shelter of the Lord. Right? Therefore, I must respect them all and not hate them. Now we get into a problem. Right? Now we have to bring it to the transcendental platform. Right? So this is how they respect all living entities, because they see them all in connection with the Lord. Right? We've been given the other aspect of this, Lord's energies, so therefore the jiva is there. And energy of the Lord, therefore we respect all living entities as part and parcel of the Lord, or because Paramatma is in everyone's heart, we respect every living entity. Right here, so now giving another aspect, because everyone's taking shelter of the earth, which is the Lord's lotus feet, so everyone's taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, therefore we respect everyone. Right? But in other places it said we respect them. Here it says we respect and not hate them. The vibhuti of the kustuba hanging on the chest of my Lord are all the jivas, right, who have taken shelter. Therefore, I should not criticize or harm even one of them. This is the result of contemplating the universal form. Right? One will give up all these material concepts and just see everything connected to the Lord. So one will give up the mundane perspective. But in this, it's not that this is the technique to get to that point. Right? Hearing and chanting about the Lord's glories is how one's going to get to that, to there. Being on that point, one can take advantage of this. Does that make sense? Because this has already been explained in the second canto. Right? As a process to, in some way, connect things to the Lord. So here, that is on the way up. This means is that one is appreciating that platform, and now through this one can always remember the Lord. Right? The other one is that we never remember the Lord, and here's an opportunity that maybe through something we'll remember the Lord. Does that make any sense?
Yes, so in the second canto it was explained as a process for neophytes.
Yes, yes. But here you see it's explained as a process for uttamas.
Yes, yes.
Right, so in other words, it means you're starting with the primary and going to the secondary. And even if you see the secondary, it immediately reminds you of the primary. But for us, then there'll be a few intellectual steps before we bring it to Krishna. So that's what's described in the second canto. But through that, if one can come to this platform, then that's glorious. Because you have the gradual process, and you have the sudden process. Right? The sudden is just the Lord's grace.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? So it's just that one's devotion is built to a point where then the Lord reveals, and it's there. So therefore, it's never described as a process. They'll say there's two paths, but the path of rag is never explained. Because it either happens or it doesn't. Does that make sense? It's just like, I can give you the recipe to cook a preparation. And I can get quite detailed and even give reasons why you do the different things. And you know, so much could go on with one recipe. You could probably put together a whole book explaining what's going on. Right? But can I write a book on your appreciating that taste of that preparation? You either appreciate or don't. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura explained, that's why rag is not explained. It's there. But by following Vaidhi, you get to the point where it's there. But it's not a separate path. It's not a separate sadhana. Right? That's the thing. Some try to make it into its own sadhana, but it's not. That's just a made-up sadhana. Vaidhi is the sadhana. When you do that with natural spontaneity, that's called rag. Does that make sense? It's just like the cowherd boys take the cows out every morning. Why do they take the cows out?
This is that time with Krishna.
Yes, that's the point. But now Jatila, she encourages her son to take out the cows, or her husband to take out the cows. For what reason?
Economic.
So that the cows become fat and happy. You get profit. You understand? So that's the point. There's no difference in the form of Vaidhi and rag. It's a total mistake to think that it's different. Right? Now, if it's Vaidhi, you have to be careful about the rules, all the different technicalities, because that's all you have to work with. But once you have that attraction for Krishna, then sometimes some of the rules aren't as important, depending on the situation. It's not that they don't care about rules, because that's how you're expressing the devotions to the sadhana. Does this make sense? Or
yes.
So, we read previously that Mahaprabhu, mentions, you know, Ramya Kachid Upasana means our Upasana is in the footsteps of the damsels of Braj.
Yes.
So in this life of what was explained here,
right,
what does that practically means for us? You know, how do we do that?
You're following in the footsteps. Where are those footsteps? And what's the ground? Because you're following their footsteps and pursuance of serving Krishna's lotus feet. So it's already there. That's the point. There's no time and space. You understand? We're used to that certain words, certain concepts, they only are within Jnana Yoga. But those same words are there in the other aspects. Does that make sense? So, in other words, it's not an external thing. Secondary is there, and flavors are there. But the point is these don't have, they're not disconnected for these devotees. Because they see them all coming from, if Krishna is all there is, then everything's coming from him. So whatever is there is also connected to him. So that's the whole point, is they see like this all the time. Does that make sense? So that's the point. They're always seeing like this. So the ones that take full advantage of this and can see this fully are the Brajbasis. Others, you know, will, of course, to some degree. Does that make sense? But they're the ones who can always see Krishna all the time because of that 100%, that full surrender. So nothing, that means all there is Krishna. It's very exclusive. So what we're talking about here is that it's something that always connects. Does that make sense? It's due to that attachment.
Maharaj, can we see it another light that it's not that type of sadhana you perform, but the effect it is producing, that differentiation?
It's the effect. Well, he was mentioned before, it's Kriya Yoga. But the aspect is, you know, it's like, you know, just the definition of what's Udipan. Right? You see something connected to Krishna. So this shows you how such a wide range of things you can see and connected to Krishna. So anything on any level you can connect, on the material level, on the Vaikuntha level, on all these things you can see. Right? So Krishna is Krishna famous? Right? Is there anybody else being discussed in Braj? So he's the most famous. So then when you see, you know, Vaikuntapati with his chamara there, then that's coming from Krishna's fame in, you know, amongst the Brajbasis. So in other words, he's just showing in that full range of his expansion of his vibhutis right down to the earth, which is the last of all the points. That's why he mentions that, because if you catch that one, then everything in between is, you know, and that right up. So you have the earth on one side and you have Pradhan on the other. You know, and so everything in between. Like that. And then all the incarnations, the Chakravyuha are there, then all their opulences and all their weaponry and everything like that. And does that make sense? Right on up to. So that's the whole point, is that you can remember all that in between. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it just is there. It's just like, yeah.
Simply analysis of
smarana. Analysis of smarana. Enhances smarana. Yes.
Nice. And we said that in order to understand this 11 Tolkanto, we need to view Tamadhi.
To understand, yeah, to fully take advantage of the 11, 12 canto, you need to be a new Tamadhi card.
What about the dance canto?
Yeah. The point was, is to fully appreciate the 11th, 12th canto, you need to be an Uttamadhikari. Basically. But the point is that's because you can appreciate what happens in the 10th canto. So the idea is what does it say is the result of studying the first nine cantos? You become liberated. That places you on the platform of the Uttamadhikari. Yeah, maybe temporary, but whatever. There was that moment. Right? And so then you can appreciate the pastimes and be attracted to that. Then the 11th and 12th shows you how to cut yourself off from everything else in the cosmos other than devotional service to Krishna. And how through that cosmos you can always remember Krishna. So you can always see the cosmos and Krishna, and Krishna and the cosmos. You know, it's the same point that was being made before. It's always coming back to that point. So you see, starting from ninth canto, Prabhupada started emphasizing the Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Krishna is everything. So then here you see techniques of how to see Krishna is everything. No? So we've always heard, always remember Krishna, never forget. It's the same thing. It's that simple.
So maybe we can start again. Can do first.
Yeah, but don't worry. When we start Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you'll have.
Start again.
Yeah. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita will have all the aspects, right? There's so many. We saw most all the purports of Srila Prabhupada on Vedanta Sutra from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
So it starts again the Vedanta Sutra?
Huh?
Yep.
All over again.
First seven chapters. Maharaj, we are doing Bhagavatar Kamrit Smala before. We are now going to the Bhagavatar Kamrit Smala.
Like that. No, but you see, the thing is, because it's in the context of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you see it in the light of the Gaudiya rather than just Vedic. But what I'm saying, it has that full range from there up to the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita is Shikshastika. You know, so it has the full range. Right, so I'm saying that, you know, we have to start Bhagavatam over. That's the advanced study of the Bhagavatam. Mm. So we have the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam, the study of the Bhagavatam, then the advanced study of the Bhagavatam. So we study it three times.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're finishing the one study, then we'll start the next study. But the thing is there because of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has that sweetness that's more obvious. So it's like if you take Vedanta Sutra and soak it in sugar syrup. It'll be better.
Yeah. Hmm? We'll see what's wrong.
Sudha Goswami continued, O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties that are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode and your most sacred glories, which are sung by Vrindavan's cowherd men and women and their servants. Bestow all auspicious just by being heard. O Lord, please protect your devotees. This is that what you're going to see more. This is what's the uniqueness that coming from how you say, these devotees. You saw, you're talking Narayan Rishi, and you're ending with the Brajbasis. Right? In one sentence.
Yes.
That's the whole point. You understand? Yes. They don't make it, we're saying, oh, this is this and that's that. For them, they're not different. That's why this idea is that, oh, there's this whole rag sadhana and all that, and, you know, it comes up in Sahaja. No, it's not like that. Or, oh, this is dry and all that. No, it's one thing.
Yes.
Anything from anywhere reminds you of Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, so that's that. The baby, you know, reminds you of, you know, the mother of the baby. You know, the shoes remind you of the baby. Yes. The towel reminds of the baby. Everything reminds of the baby.
Yes.
So that's the whole point. It's not that there's any separation. So we'll see this a lot within the Sandarbhas also. One sentence you'll have, one end you're thinking you can't get more far intellectual than this, and the other half of the sentence will be something in Braj.
Uh-huh.
Huh? It comes up a lot. And, then, and so that's the thing. They see this as that.
Yes.
This reminds them of that.
So that of devotion.
Yes. So that's the whole point, is that in the Upanishads bringing out is that we're here. In this, but we're trying to remember that.
Yes.
So that's why it says, you are that, not this. We're not the body. We're that. We're the spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So that's the whole point. Everything here, coming from Krishna, is a transformation of his energies. Therefore, you can see, his material energy is a transformation, right, of pradhan. That's his flower garland.
Yes. Yes.
So they'll just remember that. You know, and then from the garland and everything. So that's why they're always so absorbed in Krishna.
Yes.
Right? It's not mechanical, it's not artificial, it's just natural. So these are, he wanted to know what method Markandeya is able to always remember the Lord. They're just saying, this is how.
Yes.
Everything here reminds you. Now, if you're discussing directly about pastimes of Krishna, of course, that will be, you know, so natural. But even they're walking down the street, they remember the Lord.
Yes.
Right? Because there's nothing separate from Krishna.
Yes.
And when you think like that, then it doesn't leave any room for materialism.
Of course.
Right? That's where the problem comes out. So if we're attached, then it's, ooh.
A little bit.
Yeah, but as we see with, how do you say? That little bit with Markandeya. He just wanted, can I just know something about it? Yeah, seven kalpas. He's there floating around in the ocean of devastation.
Could be more specific, just an overview.
So it was too much. You're just out of here.
No.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't. Yeah. That's it. Finished. Okay. Oh no, I'm just. Sometimes you never know. You say something and then somebody gets up and walks out. Any connection? Yeah.
Why is this level of consciousness? It means by hearing about that, we can appreciate, we can have little feeling about it.
Yes, we appreciate. In other words, we can appreciate. Otherwise, what's the general concept amongst many of, let's say, second canto, fifth canto, 11th, 12th canto? You know, just, that's just all knowledge, just yan, you know, we're about bhakti. But you see us here is then, Sutta Goswami reveal his position on this platform.
Yes.
We've never seen this before with Sutta Goswami.
Mm. Yes.
Right? You know, Sukadeva a few times but he's very careful because he knows he only has 7 days. Now, Sutta Goswami can talk as long as he wants with the sages at Naimisharanya.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah, so then here we see is how these two could connect. Right? All the different things, from the material world to the spiritual world, from Vaikuntha to like this. It's just seen as one aspect. Right?
And with this kind of an explanation, the technical explanation, it just proves that the material world is not material, it's spiritual.
Yes, material world, it's a perception that we think it's material.
Yes.
It means it's called material because we see it that way.
Yes.
Like the child calls somebody by some particular name. What do we call that person by? Right? Means if the child's around, how do we refer to that person?
Same.
Yeah. Right? So because we think it's a material world, it's called the material world. It's Krishna's external energy. It is his inferior energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the expansion of Pradhana and all. It's Mahatattva. But because of this aspect of sutra, where people want to enjoy separate from the Lord, that's what makes it material. There's no sutra. There's no material world. That's why it always says, give up material desire. Not a specific. The concept. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Because as soon as you remove sutra, what do you have? Then you have pradhana. Then you have the balance of the modes. So then there is no material consciousness. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's simple. You know, just like you give up false ego, then that's what defines what you do. You analyze things, and then you have options, right? Which option do you choose? The one that fits your identity. So you give up false ego, so your identity, I'm servant of Krishna, then you'll always pick the option that's connected to serving Krishna. Right? And what keeps us from serving Krishna is material desire.
Mm-hmm.
So you give up material desire, you're no longer on the material platform, then you identify as servant of Krishna, so whatever you choose will be in connection with serving Krishna. So then where's the material? The effect is not material. You may be situated within what's called the material world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The material phenomena. But you're not getting a temporary result as others do in the material world. You're getting an eternal result because you're connecting with the eternal. Does this work or yeah? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Worship of a portion of Krishna, universal form, has been described. Now Krishna, the real object of worship, is introduced with a prayer. O friend of Arjuna, Krishna Sakha, his affection for the Pandavas brought him under their control, right? So this whole conversation, you know, originally started with Narayan Rishi, mm-hmm. right? And so then it brings through this whole aspect of the universal form, the Kriya Yoga, and all that. Mm-hmm. Now he brought it again. Now we're starting with Arjuna, the friend of Krishna, but now we're bringing it into the pastimes. Yeah, so it's the same, but now it's on that higher level. His affection for the Prandavas brought him under their control, right? So that's the bhakti. The others are methods how you can remember, but the actual devotion, that's the real point. O chief of the Vrishnis. His affection for the Vrishnis brought him under their control. What is implied here? O fire, destroyer of dynasties of kings who afflicted the earth. Or another meaning is, you are the fire which arose by the friction of clans. You destroyed the enemies of the Pandavas and Yadavas and protected them because of your affection. Right? So if there's something happening between these, why is it happening? Because of Krishna. We just say, oh, they started arguing with each other. But why is that argument? Why would argument cause a problem? Because the argument's fire. Krishna's fire. Right? So then that burns everything to ashes. You destroyed the enemies of the Pandavas and Yadus and protected them because of your affection. So he's dealing with them with the affection. And as his vibhutis, he's then protecting. Okay. O Lord, with undiminished strength, by such strength, you made the Pandavas and Yadavas victorious. O Govinda, you were even more affectionate to the inhabitants of Braja. Right, so in Dwarka we see it's going so nicely because of his affection, but he's even more affectionate in Vrindavan. What does this mean? O Lord, who gives pleasure to the ears by the fame which purifies the universe, Tirtha, which is glorified by Uddhava and consequently Sukadeva, the servant of the gopis of Braja. Right. Uddhava said, the gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members, who are very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-61. See, we'll look at it that the external points, okay, the husband, the son, the chastity, you know, okay, search for Vedic knowledge, but we'll be looking at the secondary aspect of that. Mm-hmm. But the point is they're absorbed in Krishna. They don't have attraction for any of these. Mm-hmm. That's the specialness. Yes. Right? So that we are gaining, even though that's been explained before, we're not seeing it. Then in 10th canto, it's shown. We may or may not catch it. So in this 11th and 12th, then it explains this is the point. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-61. Thus seeing how the gopis were always disturbed because of their total absorption in Krishna, Uddhava was supremely pleased. Desiring to offer them all respect, he sang as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-57. Sutta Goswami continued. Right, so their absorption and then all the emotions that come with it, and they're all just, he can just understand because he knows the Shastras. He can understand all the different, you know, Anubhavas and Sanchari Bhavas and all these kind of things. And so he says, supremely pleased. Right? So he can appreciate. Because otherwise, who else in Dwarka will appreciate? Right, Rohini will, but Rohini hangs out with all the queens, you know, and he's, you know, there with Vasudeva and like this. But Uddhava, then he hangs out with Krishna. So understanding that, now they can discuss things that. Sutta Goswami continued. Anyone who rises early in the morning and, with a purified mind fixed upon the Mahapurusha, quietly chants this description of his characteristics, will realize him as the supreme absolute truth residing within the heart. Yes? Verses 27 to 50. So he's the one he's expanded, because we see is that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kirudakshaya Vishnu, they're both the universal form. But one is Prajumna, one is Aniruddha. Right? So in other words, attaining the Lord, that's the Aniruddha. And that, you know, that's coming from him, or it's the attractive element is him. Right? But it ultimately, you know, it goes to him. Does that make sense? Yeah. Verses 27 to 50. The personal features and associates of the sun god. Sri Shonaka said, "Please describe to us, who have great faith in your words, the different sets of seven personal features and associates the sun god exhibits during each month, along with their names and activities. The associates of the sun god who serve their Lord are personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in his feature as the presiding deity of the sun." Right? So they're vibhutis of him, so they represent the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not impersonal that they are God, and it's not that, oh, then necessarily they're, you know, the Uttamadaka. No, it's the vibhutis of the Lord, so they're representing the Lord. Does that make sense? So it's how you can see Krishna in everything. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Shonaka Rishi says, "You've explained to us the conversation of Sukadeva and Parikit, constituting the Bhagavatam, and after that the story of Markandeya, our ancestor, and in answer to our request, a description of his method of worship," means Markandeyas. "There's an example given of the sun, comparing it to Krishna, the subject of the Bhagavatam. Well, this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana," Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.43. So after Krishna's departure, then this light of Bhagavatam has arisen. It's always been there, but now it comes up that you see the prominence of it. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.43. "My dear Vidura, the sun of the world, Lord Krishna, has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare?" Srimad Bhagavatam 3.27. Shonaka Rishi considers, right? So now you see, we come through here, you can see is that it's mentioning points from earlier. You can see all these things have been said, just that we're not necessarily appreciating. So by this step-by-step process that going through, one appreciates. Does that make sense? That's why it's not recommended that you just jump around and go to here and there in the scripture. You start from the beginning, go to end, because it's compiled in a particular way to bring you to the understanding. Does that make sense? Yeah? No? Okay. Shonaka Rishi considers, "Because the sun has been mentioned, I should now have Sutta explain about the sun, the king of all planets with 12 forms, at the time of completion of the king of all Puranas, consisting of 12 volumes." In this way, Shonaka considered in his mind. Right, so he's thinking, okay, 12 cantos you're finishing, so let's finish up the 12 things, because Bhagavatam is like the sun, so then you... Yeah. "In the fifth canto, it was said concerning the sun. Similarly, other sages, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and Devatas, in 14 groups in some months, and pairing up to make 7 groups in other months, assume different names every month and continuously perform different ritualistic ceremonies to worship the Supreme Lord as Suryadev, who has many names." Srimad Bhagavatam 5.21.18. Adhishvarahi means engaged by the Supreme Lord. What is the use of asking about the sun? Tell us about the expansion of the Lord whose form is the sun. So it's not about the sun, it's about the Lord's expansions of the sun. Sutta Goswami said, "The sun travels among all the planets and thus regulates their movements. It has been created by Lord Vishnu, the supreme soul of all embodied beings, through his beginningless material energy." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "One should not consider that the sun mentioned in the Bhagavatam, which is compared to Krishna, who has a spiritual body of eternity, knowledge and bliss, is material. That is expressed in this verse. The sun has been created by Vishnu, the soul of all embodied beings. It is a form of his power or effulgence, created by his beginningless Maya. Thus it is another vibhuti.
Yes. So this particular one is the prototype? The one is the primary creation, which is not...
Well, means you're always going to have that, but what he's meaning here is you're not seeing the sun as just the material sun. You're seeing it as the vibhuti of the Lord.
It's a representation of the Lord?
Yes. Yeah, vibhuti represents, but at the same time, as it's... He's done this to give light to all living entities.
So, when we talk about sunhood, I don't know how to say it. Not that particular sun god who occupies this position.
You're talking about the principle behind it. It's Krishna. But they're all representing Krishna. So, what he's showing now is that all stages of representation, you can remember Krishna. It's not that you take that they are necessarily Krishna, but at the same time, they're not Krishna. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what would they be? Mm-hmm. If Krishna is everything, what else would they be? Right, so that's the whole point of that Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, that they are Krishna, they remind you of Krishna, so remembering Krishna, that's the whole point. But if we make too much of a separation between them and Krishna, we won't remember Krishna. Does that make sense? So we just see it's like some separate it so much, the material energy, and the things that go on that don't work so nicely, that they can't remember the Lord through that. So God is not the Lord, the exclusive Lord of the world. They have to have another God to be the Lord of that. Yeah. You understand? And then they don't just stop there. Then they'll bring in others. It just keeps going. Does that make sense? So the idea here is that you're not seeing anything except in connection to the Lord. It's his vibhuti. You deal with it according to its position. Right? Does that make sense? But the whole point is that you remember Krishna. So that's how they can deal with everything and do everything nicely. They don't have any problem. Right? Even they're moving in this world with the materialists, they are only seeing Krishna. Because they see, okay, here's the king, but that's the opulence of Krishna. So they remember how Krishna is the controller and this and that. And so they'll deal very nicely and very encouraging to the king. Same time the king says something, improper, then it'll be corrected. So, yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah. Sutta Goswami said, the sun travels among all the planets and thus regulates their movements. Wait a minute, we did that.
The next sutta, Goswami, continue.
The sun establishes the movements of the planets, loka tantra. Right? So they're all functioning, all these planets, because of their based on the sun. Mm-hmm. Because of the sun's movement, then their movement is there.
Yes.
Does that make sense? It's all in connection with the moon. I mean, with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, Marie, if we understand the real position of the sun, we can understand the concept of time and space are not spiritual, you can say.
Yes, but originally they come from Krishna, because there's spiritual time and space.
Yes.
But it doesn't restrict anything. Well, here it does.
Yes.
But time then represents the sun, right?
Yes.
And so it that's what makes everything move. You need time for any action, right? So then the sun is the basis of action.
Yes.
Right? When the sun comes up, we start action. When it goes down, we stop.
Yes. Yes.
And it's also from there all the planets, because those planets control all the different situations that we're in that we would call our karma.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And our abilities and all that. That's all coming from these planets, but they're controlled by the sun. So actually, sun controls the movements of all living entities.
Yes. And if you understand that the sun is a vibhuti of Krishna, we can not be to understand the real position of time and space.
Yes, yes. 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 Yes, then we can understand
that. This is one of the main problems in our life, in our world, time and space.
Yes, but it's only a problem because we don't connect it to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Because space is the environment you're in, and time is what you do in that. So if we engage the space that we're in Krishna's service, then you've solved the problem of time and space.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Always a connection.
Yes. Sutta Goswami continued, the sun god being non-different from Lord Hari is the one soul of all the worlds and their original creator. He is the source of all the ritualistic activities prescribed in the Vedas and has been given many names by the Vedic sages, right? Because all the Vedas go back to the Brahma Gayatri. The Brahma Gayatri is a mantra for the sun.
Yes.
Right? So that means all rituals go back to the sun.
Yes.
Like that. Whatever, they may be in this point or that point in that, but it's all connected there. That's why it's such a central point, the sun, within the Vedic.
Yes.
Right? You know, for us, it'll be Krishna. Because the sun god is Lord Hari, and he's coming from Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, like that. He is the source of all the ritualistic activities prescribed in the Vedas and has been given many names by the Vedic sages. Being the source of the material energy, the personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, in his expansion as the sun god is described in 9 aspects. Oshanaka. The time, the place, the endeavor, the performer, the instrument, the specific ritual, the scripture, the paraphernalia for worship, and the result to be achieved. So these are all the different aspects that the sun god is controlling.
Yes.
He's the origin of all these. All these things are coming.
Yes. Yes.
So everything you're dealing with is this. So it's defined, the time, the space, the endeavor, the performer, the instrument, the specific ritual, the scripture, the paraphernalia, worship, and the result to be achieved. So now if we make up our own in here, then how will that give any result?
Yes.
Right? So it's all defined by.
Yes.
Yeah? Somebody said. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the Lord not only takes many forms as the sun, but as time and other aspects as well to institute sacred action. Time refers to dawn and other times. Place refers to the sacrificial altar or other sacred places. Endeavor refers to the performance undertaken. The performer is the brahmana. The instrument is the shruk, the sacrificial ladle. The ritual is the sacrifice. The agama consists of the specific mantras for the rite. So that's why it says the scripture. Because depending upon which scripture, then which ritual, then that will have the specific mantras.
Mm-hmm.
The materials are rice and other articles. The result is swarga, or other planets.
Mm-hmm.
Footnote 14. Vriti, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you do all these different things in connection to Krishna,
yes,
right, then you attain the absolute position.
Yes.
Right? If you do them on the material platform, even though it's still connected to Krishna and worshipping Krishna, you're going to, since the consideration is material, you'll get material results.
Yes.
It'll still happen within the vibhutis of the Lord.
Yes.
Right? So, that's the meaning of someone who's absorbed in the Lord. They may not care for the rituals given, in, you know, the rules of the scriptures. That doesn't mean, like, get up in the morning and brush your teeth kind of stuff. Right? You know, which is what we basically, you know, think is fanatic. You know? It means we don't have to perform all these different Vedic rituals given in the Brahmanas.
Yes.
And that kind of karmakanda aspects, that's what's dropped. Because we're thinking, we've already dropped, as we saw, you have the vast range of Vedic literatures and all the rituals in karmakanda, jnanakanda, upasanakanda.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see of that the essence then is devotional service.
Yes.
Then the mentality, the lifestyle, the activities of someone who's on that situated on that Uttama platform, who's transcendental, is then described. And then describing it, it was very interesting to note that basically it's what Srila Prabhupada gave us as the activities of ISKCON.
Yes.
Just formalized so it has a structure to it.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? So we already have what we're being given, that's already the part that we don't care for the rules. It's not that you take this and now say we don't care for these rules. Doing this, you already obtain the results given by all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's already the essence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Because it's always about Krishna.
Yes.
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 Yeah. But so that's the whole point. Is if we see the technical points, it's already there. So because of this knowledge, the sages don't have any difficulty knowing all this technical knowledge and seeing all those aspects. They just remind them of Krishna.
Yes.
Because it's much easier to think of it in this way than just as a list of aspects.
Yes.
Right? You know, you see the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why Krishna says he's the sacrifice, as it mentions here. He's the one performing the sacrifice.
Yes.
He's the results of that sacrifice.
Yes.
He's the one who's going to, the results are being done for. He's the mantra. He's the paraphernalia, right? Because he's just saying all these nine.
Yes.
Yes.
Krishna, for this this shloka, Acharya's comment that the bow is like a spoon, the arrows are ghee, and you are the performer of the yajna, Arjuna.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Yeah. So it's always the same principle. It's just... Given whatever is the form given, that's the one is given in. It applies to everything else. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the Lord not only takes many forms as the sun, but has time and other aspects as well to institute sacred action. Time, we did that. Oh, we were on the footnote. Okay. Sudha Goswami continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifesting his potency of time as the sun god, travels about in each of the 12 months, beginning with Madhu, to regulate planetary motion within the universe. Right? So his potency of time is the sun god. So sun god is Krishna, who is time. Who is representing Krishna, right? Traveling with the sun god in each of the 12 months is a different set of six associates. So, starting with Madhu, that I know of, that means that month after Kartik, right? That's when the year starts. The Vedic year starts then. So Kartik's the last month of the year. Right, Dhammadhara is the last. Then you start with Keshava. That's why then that will be called Keshava or like this and that. Unless there's some other aspect that he's taking is Madhusudan. So I'm not sure of the, because there's so many ways you can calculate. Traveling with the sun god in each of the 12 months is a different set of six associates. My dear sage, Datta is the sun god. Kritsastali as the Apsara, Haiti as the Rakshasa, Vasuki as the Naga, Ratakrit as the Yaksha, Pulastya as the sage, and Tumburu as the Gandharva, rule the month of Madhu, Chaitra. Okay, so that's Chaitra, then that's a different month.
Chaitra is now, during Gaur Purnima.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. No, that's after, I think. Because that's Falgun, so after that's Chaitra.
Chaitra, after Falgun.
Yeah, after Gaur Purnima, that month, then that's Chaitra. Yeah.
That is generally for Vaishnavas. It is what you said after Kartik. Only the Vaishnavas, and in the whole Indian,
they go from Chaitra.
Except for the Gujaratis follow.
Yeah, well, also Bengalis. Then Vaishakh is their beginning of their year.
Just 15 days.
Yeah, because also it depends on whether they're falling from the. We fall from the moon. Mm-hmm. These are falling from the sun,
mm-hmm.
and so that puts it off generally. By 15 days. And that'll also be similar to those who follow according to the dark moon instead of the full moon. So the dark moon and the sun one will be basically quite similar. Okay. So that answers that. Okay. Aryama as the sun god, Pulaha as the sage, Atauja as the yaksha, Praheti as the rakshasa, Punji Kashtali as the Apsara, Narada as the Gandharva, and Kachanira as the Naga rule the month of Madhava, Vaishak. Mitra as the sun god, Atri as the sage, because remember before, it's still the same potencies and all that. May have different, he has different names and all that, but it's the same potencies there. Mm-hmm. The same positions are there. Does that make sense? So that's why there's the same and there's the difference. Huh?
Yes. All those 1 month they travel with the sun god.
Yes, that they and they perform all that, whatever the duties are that go along. So the sun god always travels with these six. So that makes the seven. We were talking about the seven. Mm-hmm. So it's the sun god and these other six, and then there's 12 Adityas, like that. Yes.
Because it's mentioned Aryama as the sun god. Then we call sun god as Vivaswan. Then what is his position when every month is changed?
I'm not sure. It's just whoever it is. It's just depending on how they're establishing. Because Aryama is there, Varuna will be there, yeah. You know, Vamana will be
too.
There. Huh?
Vivaswan is here too.
Yeah, Vivaswan's here
okay,
also.
Only one.
You only get 1 month. Sorry. It's already, the other 11 are already booked. So
in this, for 1 month, so they will not work too hard?
That no means they perform their specific duties directly with the sun. So other times they go and do other stuff. I must say, you know, it says Takshaka is the Naga. So other times he's, you know, going around biting people and that. You know, this time he's working as the Naga for the sun god. Right? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Mitra is the sun god, Atri is the sage, Parusheya as the Rakshasa, Takshaka as the Naga, Menaka as the Apsara, Haha as the Gandharva, and Ratasvana as the Yaksha rule the month of Sukra, Jeshta. Vashishta as the sage, Varuna as the sun god, Ramba as the Apsara, Sahajanya as the Rakshasa, Huhu as the Gandharva, Sukra as the Naga, and Chitra Svana as the Yaksha rule the month of Suchi, Ashada. Indra as the sun god, Vishvavasu as the Gandharva. Because I think Vishvavasu, isn't he also a friend of Arjuna or something? No, he's not. Shrota as the Yaksha, Ilapatra as the Naga, Angira as the sage, Pramlocha as the Apsara, and Varya as the Rakshasa rule the month of Nabas, Shravana. Vivasvan as the sun god, Ugrasena as the Gandharva, Vyagra as the Rakshasa, Asharana as the Yaksha, Brigu as the sage, Anum Locha as the Apsara, Shanka Pala as the Naga rule the month of Nabhasya, Bhadra, Pushya as the sun god, Dhananjaya as the Naga, Vata as the Rakshasa, Shushena as the Gandharva, Suruchi as the Yaksha, Gritachi as the Apsara, and Gotama as the sage rule the month of Tapas, Mag. Right, so that's the one we're in now. Mm-hmm. Footnote 50. The months are not listed in the usual sequence. Mm-hmm. Ritu as the Yaksha, Varcha as the Rakshasa, Bharadvaj as the sage, Parjanya as the sun god, Senajit as the Apsara. Oh, Parjanya. Okay. Oh, okay. Because sometimes the Parjanya is used as the term. Okay. Senajit as the Apsara, Vishva as the Gandharva, and Airavata as the Naga rule the month known as Tapasya, Falguna. Amshu as the sun god, Kasyapa as the sage, Tarksha as the Yaksha, Rita Sena as the Gandharva, Urvasi as the Apsara, Vidyuj Chatru as the Rakshasa, and Mahashanka as the Naga rule the months of Sahas, Margashirsha. Bhaga as the sun god, Spurja as the Rakshasa, Arishtanemi as the Gandharva, Urna as the Yaksha, Ayur as the sage, Karkotaka as the Naga, and Purvachiti as the Apsara rule the month of Pushya, Pausha. Purvachiti wasn't mentioned before?
Yes. Yes. So,
what is his name?
Okay. Tvashta as the sun god. Jamadagni, the son of Richika, as the sage. Kambalasva as the naga. Tilotama as the apsara. Brahma Peta as the rakshasa. Shatajit as the yaksha. And Dhritarashtra as the gandharva maintain the month of Isha, Ashvin. Vishnu as the sun god. Ashvatara as the naga. Ramba as the apsara. Surya Varcha as the Gandharva, Satyajit as the Yaksha, Vishwamitra as the sage, and Makapeta as the Rakshasa rule the month of Urja, Kartik. Okay, so Vamana does the, he's the sun god during Kartik. That's cool. All these personalities are the opulent expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, in the form of the sun god. These deities take away all the sinful reactions of those who remember them each day at dawn and sunset. Thus, throughout the 12 months, the Lord of the Sun travels in all directions with his six types of associates, disseminating among the inhabitants of this universe purity of consciousness for both this life and the next. Right? So then one chants the Brahma Gayatri. Mm-hmm. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes,
the 12 names of the sun god you have mentioned are different from what people usually know, right?
The 12 Adityas.
12 Adityas.
Yeah. Okay. Like Vishnu means vomited.
Yes.
Thus the sun, Asau Deva, travels with associates who are his vibhutis. Good? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.